title track from the new John Lord album, Before I Forget, bringing us into this part of the programme where we welcome back to Liverpool, John. Nice to see you back again.
Oh, it's great to be back, mate.
And nice to see your front as well.
Thanks a lot. It's the best part of me, you know.
Title track from an album that I would guess you've probably been waiting for a while to do, because some of the tracks are vaguely autobiographical and about periods of your life that a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been rattling around in the old head for 4 or 5 years, which accounts for this slightly jokey title. I mean, you know, it's better record him before I forget him, sort of thing. There's 4 songs on the album. They're the sort of most autobiographical, as it were. They're about specific instances, and the rest are just feelings that I've been wanting to, you know, put down on tape for some time.
What about that one we've just heard? That's a very kind of moody.
Yeah, it's about memory, you know, and about the. I mean, it sounds awfully sued to put it this way, but because actually I tried to say it in the music, but it's about memory and how it eludes you. Mm-hmm. And it was originally going to be a song, which I was hoping to get David to sing, but I couldn't get the words right at all. I just couldn't. You know, I got a set of words which didn't work at all, for me anyway. So I stuck with an instrumental and just let the ladies sing the title line.
Let's move on to another track from the album anyway. It's the track that opens up side one of the album. This is called Chance on a Feeling. Wit vocals. And this brings in Bernie Marsden on vocals on this track. Any particular sort of story surrounding this one?
Yeah. sort of towards the end of Purple, deep variety, the bass player was a gentleman called Glenn Hughes. And he had a smashing girlfriend. Oh, I fancied something rotten, mate. You know, and
being a gentleman that you
being
are.
Being a gentleman, I nicked her, didn't I? right from under his nose. And this is a kind of a very simple song about that rather complicated situation.
Do you ever see Glenn?
Not a lot.
Anyway, back to the album. This is one called Say It's All Right. Is this Say It's All Right as in Say It's All Right? I can't think who did it.
I just did on my album,
yes,
mate.
There was
another one. I can't remember who it was either.
Yes, but it's
no, it's a song I wrote and got stuck halfway through with the words. So I asked a guy called Elmer Gantry to help me with the words, who sings another track on the album.
As in Velvet Opera.
Yeah, him.
Yes, him.
Good voice, nice gravelly, lived-in sort of voice. But he helped me with the words on this, which is why he's credited on the album for doing so. And it's a lovely lady called Vicky Brown singing it, and she's marvellous.
Any particular story or storyette that surrounds this one?
Yeah, just a thing that happened to me once when I wasn't very sure of myself in respect of my good lady, and that's all, really.
Bit of confirmation that everything
yes.
was A-okay.
Yes.
Really quite amazing that there are so many singers like Vicky Brown and, mm-hmm. and others whose names I can't remember. Corey Josias was one who
yes.
sang on the Rick Wakeman single.
Yeah.
Just around.
Yeah, and it's a you see, they tend to live in that session singer world, which is a dead-end street. And there they are, sort of lovely ladies with delightful voices who are being kind of said, OK, love, you just sing in the background here, you know.
Mm. There must be occasions when they go into a studio and they could probably blow away the person they're supposed to be backing.
Many, many times, I would think. I would love to see that particular lady, Vicky Brown, get herself a solo deal, because she does have a really quite remarkable voice. The only problem she has is she's married to Joe Brown. I didn't mean it, Joe. No, great lady, smashing voice.
Did you actually, I mean, you knew that beforehand, or did you, you discover that?
Joe lives fairly near, and I knew Vicky had a great voice. She used to be in the Vernon's Girls, and she's from this very town, in actual fact. I knew she sang beautifully, and when I'd written that song, and I was trying to think, who on earth was, because Elmer was going to sing it originally and it didn't quite work with him. And I was around at Joe's one night and I said, hey, do you want to try this song? I sat down at the piano and she just gave me goosebumps. And then she started singing. So I had to, you know, I had to ask her to do it. And it's her, all the backing vocals on the album were done by her and her daughter, Samantha, who likes to be called Sam. She's a mere stripping lass of 15 or 16, I think, and has, again, a delightful voice.
Voice like her mum's.
Mm.
It must have been nice to do the album with what appears to be a bunch of your mates.
Yeah, there's a danger in there, in that it could become a party rather than the serious business of getting down something that you believe in onto tape. But they all know me well enough and respect me enough, I think, to A, do what I tell them to do, and B, know that it shouldn't degenerate into a party. Although there's a lovely little story about the track I did with Bad Company on here, on this album. I did two with them in one night. In the first one, we got down perfect, which is the one on the album. Mm-hmm. And the second one was supposed to be this kind of really like heavy, chugging song I'd written called Going Home. It was about something that happened to me when I was down out broke in London, and Mum kept ringing me up and saying, come home to Leicester, lad, you know. Don't live there in a big city and be broke and starving. And I fought against it, you know, stay down here and stick up for what I believe in and all that rubbish. And I wrote this song about it, and it was supposed to be real heavy. And well, by the time we got to that one, which was the second one, Bad Company had consumed a fair amount of various liquids. And instead of being dunk, 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 it ended up ding, 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 a rather jolly little ditty, which didn't fit the words at all.
John Lord Goes Country.
It almost. Yeah, I don't know which country it was, though, that's the trouble. So that didn't quite make the album. Anyway.
So it was upon your shoulders, then, this responsibility to keep everyone in a serious frame of, or serious-ish frame of mind.
Well, I did my best, let's put it that way. And, I mean, I like to have a good time, but... modern recording, because the fidelity at which you are recorded is so high, in other words, every mistake is apparent, and you know, modern techniques are so they make you feel naked, you know, if you're not careful musically, I'm talking about. You have to be good in the studio. You can cover up later, but I don't want to do that, you know. I've never had to cover up later, and I don't particularly want to start now. So I had to keep a reasonably tight rein at the same time enjoying it, so the enjoyment comes across on the in the music.
Let's go back to the album now and have track two on side one, which is called Tender Babe, which is just you and Cozy Powell on drums and Neil Murray.
Yeah.
What is this one?
Well, it's based on a tune which was written about 400 years ago, which was called Tender Babes. They think it was by a guy called Thomas Tallis, who was an English composer of, the 16th century. But I could be wrong, it might be the 15th. I mean, who knows from that
Somebody
time.
Will.
But it's one of those... good little early English tunes that sort of, to me, cried out to be messed around with in my usual fashion. And all I could hear when I started routining it in my mind, as it were, and at home, all I could hear was Cozy, who is the best thunderer in the business, just thundering. So I decided to start with how it would have been played. I used a synthesizer to get the sound of recorders and lutes and so on, or lutes, which is kind of blown away by the drum intro, and then it comes back at the end, sort of disappearing into the mists of time as it would have sounded then. It's a vaguely intellectual exercise, but only to me. I mean, it stands or falls on whether you like the way I play it.
I think you described that wonderfully.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, we're going to have another piece of music from the album to take us towards the 9 o'clock news. This one's called Burnt Wood. Just yourself and Neil on this one.
Yeah, this is... it's where I live, in actual fact. It's the name of the house I live in. And it's surrounded by trees, and when the wind blows, it makes a lovely noise, and it's a very romantic place to live in, so it's a fairly romantic piece of music.
Welcome back. That's a good way to come back in the final hour of the programme. Hollywood Rock and Roll from John Lord's album Before I Forget. John Lord meets Bad Co.
Yeah.
And in fine form too.
Yeah, I love that band. I'm conducting a one-man campaign at the moment to get that band back on the road. I'm good friends with them. And
Can I make it a two-man campaign?
Yes, please join in. In fact, anybody wants to join in, because they are such a fine band, and I believe... you know, just unique in as far as British bands go. They're very, very different. But I love that band. I was thrilled to have them on that track, and I thought they played extremely well. Simon Kirk, great backbeat drummer, wonderful lazy, easy feel, which is quite unusual in English drummers.
Well, you got them all there. Cozy Powell Ian Paice, Simon Phillips and Simon Kirk. I mean, you couldn't really...
No, I got four good drummers, didn't I?
You couldn't include too many more, really. Back to the music. This is a track, I've actually played one track already from the album, which we played last night, and this is a superb song called Where Are You? And this was, I believe, a period when you were feeling less than wonderful in yourself and a little homesick for dear old Blighty.
Yeah, that's how it started. I was snowed in Philadelphia, of all places, and a couple of gigs had been cancelled. I was well fed up, and I had this little Porter keyboard in my room, you know, and a pair of headphones, and I could sort of wallow away in my misery, and I came up with this chord sequence and a rough idea for a song, which eventually became this song. It's a homesick song, it's a song about a lady, and I had to get someone with a lived-in voice to sing it, because if I'd got someone with one of those awfully slick voices to sing it, it would have been a bit too cabaret, because it's, you know, it's a fairly kind of sophisticated chord sequence, etc., etc. So I wanted someone to gravel it up, and I got Elmer Gantry to sing it for me, and I think he's done a wonderful job, and I'm thrilled with the song.
But what has this album done for you then? Has it got it all off your chest, or is there still a wealth of material there that you would have liked to have committed to this album and maybe will do sometime in the future?
Well, I'm gonna make another album in a year's time or whatever. I might make one the year after that as well. It got the most important bits of music that were necessary. I felt I had to sort of write down. And it's, you know, as such, the album has a very tenuous link in this vaguely autobiographical sense, and in this the feeling of having to say it now, otherwise I would never say it. But that's intellectualizing, you see, which is not one of my favourite things to do to music. I mean, I believe it should stand or fall on its merits as a piece of audio massage, whatever, you know.
A wonderful way of putting it.
You know, if you either like it or you don't. I'm very pleased with it. It's of its moment. It's me now. It represents something that I wanted to say, and as such, I'm very proud of it.
So, in 12 months' time, it may be something completely different.
It won't be completely different. Similar. I mean, I've never really. It's the first solo album I've made without an orchestra. And I'm apart from the outings with Ashton on the first of the big bands, and with PAL was really almost a solo album because I wrote most of the material, but with a lot of help from the others. But it's the first one where I've put my name at the top of the album and said, right, this is John Lord, no orchestra, no classical trappings apart from a bit of Bach on one track. It's me with the bass, drums and guitar. And as such, I'm pleased I've done it. I didn't want to do it. I've had it up to here with orchestras there. In general, they're very unhelpful.
And expensive.
Tell me. you know, they look down on me, apart from the odd occasion. The people who played on Saraband, the Hungarian lot, were superb. But in general, it's a bit of a battle to get across a point which perhaps a lot of people don't consider worth making anyway. I did, so I made the point. But I feel much happier being back home with just being a keyboard player with a rock band. And in essence, what I've got there on the album is a rock band, but I'm asking them to play various moods which perhaps a rock band wouldn't normally be asked to play.
Do you ever feel the time is approaching when you will cease to be a first of